Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend watching some pretty damn good NFL playoff games. Got the college football championship tonight, and then a Sunday of championship games, and then the Super Bowl, and then it's all over until next season, so soak it all in, people. It's going to be a lot of fun getting up to the draft in April. And speaking of which, make sure you check out the launching of the Draft Industrial Complex, my new weekly pod with Tyler Brook from the 33rd team. We'll be talking each and every week throughout the draft process leading up to what can only be described as a monumental occasion in Green Bay, Wisconsin, when the draft is held there in late April. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's up here on the YouTube channel and wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you check it out. Really excited to be doing this each and every week with Tyler. So please, please, please check that out. The Packers heading into the offseason with lots of question marks, as they do each and every season, as does every team. The Packers clearly will be deciding, and we talked about this here last week, about their own free agents. I did a video on that, as well as the fifth-year option that will be kind of decided upon prior to May 1st. I did a video about that earlier this afternoon. I hope you'll get the chance to check that out when it comes to Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker. Clearly, as far as free agency goes, a lot has to play out yet, but the Packers know they have plenty of maneuverability, and certainly they have places they need to address in free agency. What's fascinating to me is what kind of avenue are they going to go down when it comes to creating additional cap space if they need it? Because as it stands, I think the Packers will have roughly around $23, $24 million in effective cap space, but that could, you know, pretty easily be increased if they do some restructurings and things of that nature. Now, that is something that I would think they'd be reticent to do, given that they've finally gotten cap healthy coming out of the, you know, COVID years, kicking the can to try and get back to the Super Bowl with Rodgers. They're finally, like I said, they're out from most of the big dead money hits with David Bakhtiari and Aaron Rodgers now completely off the books. But if there is a player or players out there that they think, you know, would put them over the top, that would really cement them as a championship roster, it wouldn't surprise me to see them make a move or two as far as current contracts to try and go maybe do make a big swing or two. Now, I don't predict that. That's not something that I really think is going to be on offer for Brian, just because of how he and the Packers have operated for so long. But, and I've talked about this a little bit with Corey on Packer Transplants, if there has been a year where Gutekunst and the Packers seem to have gone kind of off profile a little bit, it's been this season. From, you know, jettisoning the quarterbacks coming out of camp and making that trade for Malik Willis, something I really didn't think they were going to do, to kind of pulling the kind of cord on the kicker experiment and signing McManus when they did. Those are smaller versions of kind of surprising moves when you look at how the Packers have operated over the course of the last, what, number of decades. Could Brian make a significant move, some kind of shocking move? It's a possibility, but again, I tend to doubt that that will occur. What will undoubtedly occur is they will continue to build through the draft, maybe make a selection or two where they have trades in mind, pull the trigger there. The priority number one, and you heard Brian Gutekunst talk about, got to get back to winning championships. For me, the priority into 2025 and beyond is getting back to winning the division. I mean, obviously, you can win a championship without winning the division. There's no question about it. The last championship the Packers won came that via that route. But I don't think that is ever going to be the plan. The idea is you have to win the division to control your postseason destiny. Obviously, you want home playoff games. You want that ability to not only have a game in your kind of house, but also get that first round bye. And also protect your house. Stop having these divisional opponents come in and beat you up at home. Now, these are all kind of, I'm going to say esoteric, but they're going to be very big picture things, right? But I do not doubt for a moment that the through line, driving Brian and the organization this offseason has got to be, we have got to get back to winning the division on our way to winning a championship, because that is the clearest, most direct line. And I know there will be so many arguments this offseason about where Jordan Love is, the job Matt LaFleur is doing, what choices Brian Gutekunst is making. But I think one singular focus for everyone inside 1265 Lombardi this offseason has to be getting back to owning and running the NFC North. To me, that is unquestionably the number one priority, the number one goal in 2025. Because obviously winning championships is what it's all about. And the, I'm not going to say easiest path, because nothing in the NFL is easy, but the clearest path to doing so is winning your division. The Packers have to get back to doing that. Hello to everybody in the comment section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody mixing it up already. Want to give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdraws, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. And looky here, this was my lineup for this past weekend's games, and the only choice that didn't hit, I thought for sure C.J. Stroud was going to throw an interception against the Chiefs. He didn't. But every other thing, five other things hit. Man, that was a good weekend for your boy on Prize Picks. Let's take a look at tonight's lineup for the college football championship. Jeremiah Smith, oh my gosh, yes, 100%. He is going over 80 yards receiving. G. Scott, he's not going to scratch 17. Jeremiah Love, I adore the way this kid plays football. He is an absolute beast. I think he's going for over 46.5 rushing yards. And yeah, I do think Notre Dame's going to be kicking quite a bit. I think Ohio State's going to hunker down in the red zone, if not before. Definitely going to be a lot of kicking for the Golden Domers. Give me Jeter for over 6 kicking points. Make sure you use the link in the description of this video. Get on board. Thanks to every one of you who sent me your lineups over the weekend. A lot of folks winning, a lot of folks having a good time. You can do so. Link in the description of this video. Make sure you use code CHTV when you do so. All right, folks, what we got going? We got Joe starting us off. Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. What's the over-under on bogus roughing Mahomes penalties in the AFC Championship game? Does Prize Picks have a number on that? Not that I've seen, but it could be added at any point. Yeah, the two roughing calls on Mahomes this past weekend were absolutely abhorrent and really put a stain on the NFL. It makes it worse. And I was just talking about this on the radio. It makes it worse that Mahomes leans into it and is looking for it. On the very first roughing call, he's legit on the ground looking up at the ref like, "Are you, huh? Look, he hit me." And then, of course, everybody saw the play where he's running, has every opportunity to step out of bounds, weaves back into traffic, and then goes down, knowing these guys are going to come after him, and then they get a flag while running into each other, I might add. And then, of course, there's the, NBA/soccer-level flop on the sideline there, which thankfully didn't get called, but that's my point. He's looking for it. He's trying to, lean into the fact that he's Patrick Mahomes and he knows he gets these absurd calls. And I understand it's the NFL. Bad calls happen. You got to absolutely rise above it. You have to overcome it. No question about it. But it's not like the Chiefs need the help. They've got the best quarterback in the game. They got the greatest living coach in the game. They got all sorts of weapons on offense. They got a great defense. They don't need extra opportunities to score. That's the frustrating part. These drives that get extended because, you're breathing on Mahomes and getting a penalty. That's the ultimate frustration. King Favre, how are you, man? We will have to see about Ben Johnson, but why do the Packers seem to get head coaching hirings right, but the Bears don't? Is it luck, a difference in philosophy, a difference in process? I think process is a big component there. I do think the Packers are still, you know, adhering to the principles that Ron Wolf laid down all those years ago, even after Murphy changed the power structure. Everything they do on the football side is still kind of worked through that process, that kind of spine, if you will. Whereas the Bears, and this has been well documented, as you know, this year in particular, they have continued to, I don't know, for lack of a better term, unmarry the GM and the coach. And it sure feels like they're about to enter that yet again, where, you know, oftentimes, you know, you'll see the general manager hired and the general manager will hire the coach. Now, that is not, you know, 100%, and it's certainly not the only way to go about it. But the Bears have done consistently is have a GM and a coach, and one gets hired before the other, and then they get saddled with the other guy, and they're not on the same page as far as a vision and what kind of program they want to run. And that is the key word. It is a program. Look, I think Ben Johnson's a really great play caller, and there's zero doubt that he is going to come in there with all the bells and whistles that he, you know, put together in Detroit as far as a playbook goes. But it's one thing to call that when you've got one of the best offensive lines in the game, as opposed to what the Bears are currently working with. Now, they will spend the offseason building that offensive lineup. I have zero doubt about it. But that's the point. Like, Mike McDaniel was the offensive whiz kid of the day just a couple years ago. And now you look at the Dolphins, and they're just kind of a middling organization trying to figure things out. And I'm not saying that's automatically where Ben Johnson is heading, but there's so much more than just being able to call plays, even trick plays, even fun plays. But there's so much more to it than that. You're running a program. You're building a program. And the Bears just have not done a great job of doing that, which, as a Packers fan, I'm happy about. I'm fine with it. But yeah, Ben Johnson, I look forward to him having Rome Odunze throw a critical pass in the fourth quarter of a very important game. We don't have to look much further than that loss to the Commanders and the key over, you know, turnover there in the fourth quarter to see how some of that hubris can come back and bite you. Long way to go there in Chicago, no doubt about it. Vex, how are you, man? It is damn hard to win in the NFL. A truer statement has never been said. That is well stated, Vex. Matthew, thanks for the super chat, man. I'm glad we don't have to watch Detroit or Minnesota picking as Super Bowl champions at Lambeau in April. No doubt about it. And even better is the fact that, you know, Minnesota doesn't even have that many draft selections, period. I think they have three total. So, yes, very, very happy that they will not be selecting as Super Bowl champs in April in Green Bay. Alexander, thanks for the super chat, man. Good afternoon, Aaron. I have convinced myself that Ben Johnson will flame out as he moves up from OC to head coach. On a scale of 9 to 10, how much is this just cope? It does smell of cope, but, you know, anything is possible. He could come in and become a phenomenal head coach, a true leader of men who goes on to restore the glory of Bears football. Or he could be Matt Nagy. We'll see. That's why we watch, right? Cheeto, what's going on, man? Seriously, Nags, how hard are we laughing at the Lions? I mean, it's hard not to enjoy some schadenfreude, right? Especially, and it's, look, it's mostly their fans, right? I kind of have zero issue with the team, the players, other than maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I hope he gets a dose of humble pie this offseason. But for the most part, it's the fans, the way they have been, you know, completely, let's say, emboldened to be just toxic and talk so much shit when their team has won. Fuck all. You know, like, look, I'm happy for you guys. You were afterthoughts. You were absolutely nothing for decades. Decades, plural. And now you have a really good squad. And you do. Like, that's the other thing. Like, Ben Johnson's leaving. Most likely Aaron Glenn's out the door. They still have a really good roster. You know, and I do think Dan Campbell is a good coach. But, man, you ain't won shit. Yes, you've beat the Packers a few times here recently. Wonderful. The Packers still own you all time, like, by a significant margin. They certainly have won way more division titles than you. Certainly won more championships than you. But, man, enjoy those banners celebrating your division championships. I know you're sitting at the big boy table now. You're not really sure how to act. We'll show you. That's what we'll try to show you. Of course, you'll be all toxic and full of nonsense to listen. But, you know, that's the thing, Cheeto. We are laughing at the Lions because they talk so much shit and they won exactly as many playoff games as the Packers did at the end of this season. God bless them. Ed, what's up, man? I was able to watch Wayne and Larry with the games this year. So grateful for that. All I want next season is awesome from day one. Awesome from day one. Ed, I'm glad you mentioned day one, because can I just pick a nit here? Can Matt LaFleur finally start a season at Lambeau Field? What is he in year seven? He's never, ever coached a team that started week one in Lambeau. I'm not, you know, complicated. I'm not difficult. I have simple wants and simple needs. I need the Packers to kick off the 2025 season at Lambeau Field. Again, a man, simple tastes. Mike Witt, how are you? Hey, Nags, I went into the postseason cheering for the Packers, Lions, Bills, but got to admit, after how cocky they got, I am happy the Lions lost. Yeah, Mike, again, I feel you. Again, it's the fandom. Most of the players and coaches I'm fine with. But yeah, that fandom, dose of humble pie, do them good. No question. Marshall Duke, how are you, man? Two former Packers made two of the biggest plays this weekend. Oren Burks causing the kickoff fumble and Rasul recovering, clinching onside kick. No question about it. Though Rasul, you know, it was funny watching some of those run plays by the Ravens there in the second half. Like, those are some tough looks. I mean, and I'm not just Rasul, just for the Bills defense in general. But yeah, I mean, the Oren Burks thing is crazy too. He actually looked pretty decent in pass coverage yesterday against the Rams, though they did take advantage of him a couple times in the run game. But yeah, Oren Burks, a depth piece, which is exactly what he should be. Now he's playing in a really good defense with a bunch of really good players with an outstanding coordinator. It all helps, right? Context is key. Marshall Duke, how are you, man? Gut feeling, do we prioritize offense or defense in the upcoming draft? Good question. I think it's a little early prior to free agency, but I would suspect defense, as is often the case in Green Bay, but that doesn't mean offense will be ignored. I think for certain, you know, they'll be looking at wide receiver and offensive line, no question about it. But yeah, I would suspect the defensive side. Mike, thanks again, man. Is this the year we get an off-season Big Lebowski watch party, Nags? What about a return of Packers trivia? Well, Packers trivia ain't going to happen, but Big Lebowski has to. I've been promising it for a while, and now I actually have a way of doing it where I can just send everyone a link and we can all watch it together. So we'll probably do that on the Patreon page at some point this off-season. Brian, what's up, man? What's the key to retaking the division? Well, A, winning your games at fucking home. I am sick and tired of these games where the opponent comes in, whether it's the Vikings or the Lions or hell, even the Bears, come out and take a lead, a significant lead at that. Man, you got to come out and make sure that you're playing sound, fundamental football. And I understand that they get paid too, and there's talent there, no doubt about it. But man, the Packers' youth and, quote, inexperience is no longer an excuse. It is no longer a mitigating factor. These guys have played a boatload of football, the core of this team, over the last couple years. They have got to start faster. To me, that's a number one, winning those games at home. Because more often than not, you're probably, not always, but probably going to split home and home, right? Home and away. Like, even the Packers in 96, one of the best teams I ever saw, they lost in Minnesota. You know, that this is part of the gig. Your division opponents are often tough because they know you so well. You don't ever want to over-prioritize, like, drafting or signing people to beat specific opponents. But, man, the Packers have got to make sure that they are able to start these games faster, at home in particular. Rai, what's up? Has Rashawn Gary peaked? Still believe in LVN? That's a really interesting way to phrase that. Peaked for Rashawn? I don't believe so. I think he's still got a lot to offer, and I'm fascinated to see what kind of steps he takes in this scheme with new coaching along that defensive line. As far as LVN, I've talked about it a lot. I'll keep saying it. This is the first year he'll have been in the same scheme from one year to the next in the last 3 years, right? And again, yes, some new coaching hopefully does help. Those guys still have all the potential and kind of upside in the world, but they've got to do it and they got to be consistent with it. And yes, coaching should help, but it's on the player more than anything. And I do think with Rashawn, he certainly started slow, but he was playing some pretty damn good ball down the stretch. That last like month and a half of the season. So if he can come out of the gate that way, I think he'll be on a really good track in this defense. Ralph, what's up, man? Who's winning, Eagles or Commanders? Thoughts? I have so many thoughts. You know, I'm pulling for the Commanders, no question about it, but I'd probably give the nod to the Eagles just because of their defense. And I know, look, man, Washington did a great job last time these two teams faced. Obviously, Hurts going down with a concussion had something to do with it, but I mean, Jaden Daniels is playing lights out ball. So I am pulling for the Commanders, but I do think the way the Eagles are able to control the game because of their running game, mostly due to their superstar back and offensive line, and they can play great defense to support that, I'd probably take the Eagles. Mike, thanks again, man. You see the league fine Burks on that helmet-to-helmet hit on Nixon, but no flag on the play. Interesting. NFL officiating at its finest. Not only that, Mike, but the NFL Twitter account deleted the tweet that they put out there during the game. So that's the way you lay the wood, or that's the way you bring the boom. Oh, but we're going to delete that because that's an illegal play. Would have been nice to see that in real time. But yeah, no luck. Very, very frustrating. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.